So I'm on the BJJ Fanatics website, and I see three new videos by some guy named Thomas Radzinski. You familiar with that guy at all?
Nope, absolutely not.
No? Well, he's got some good stuff. Three brand new videos. They're getting amazing reviews, which is good to see as well. But you got to tell us about them real quick?
Yeah. You know, I had you guys already know, but I had opportunity to go to Boston, shoot three more instructionals, one on butterfly hook, complete guide for butterfly hook, two, wrap, lapel, and submit them. And three, we have taking the back. It's particularly designed for guys for over 40 because there is no climbing involved. All the back days are on the ground. Very, very full and effective system. So dip into it. I'm really hoping that this is going to help your jiu-jitsu and really take it to the next level.
BJJFanatics.com. Just search R-O-Z-D-Z. We have all had that situation where after class is when we want to ask a question. And Thomas, a lot of those questions you've already answered, right, at Ask a Black Belt.
Yeah, it's another podcast that I'm running. It's on podcast, all podcast platforms, plus on YouTube. You can find it anywhere. Just search for my name. Search for Ask a Black Belt. At this point, over 100 episodes, different questions, jiu-jitsu, life-related, but something that everybody comes across, and often these questions sink in our mind, but we don't ask for whatever reason. So if that benefits you, go there, listen. It actually might help your jiu-jitsu, might help your life as well. And if you have any questions, find me on Instagram and drop me a line. I'll be happy to answer your question and mention your name during the episode.
Welcome to Raw Radio.
And we are live.
Here we go.
I didn't clap. One second. Right. One more time.
No, we can't. Well, you know, so you know what's funny about that is that you screwed up the clap in Edgar's episode.
I did?
I left it in. Yeah, you were like, and we're live. Clap. And then you're like, oh, no, and we're live.
This new thing is messing with me, okay? Like, it's...
Change is hard.
Well, in some way, yeah. I mean, it's... The change was needed. We needed to upgrade what we do, and the quality is clearly visible. I am enjoying, you know, how the podcast is being heard. And I hope you guys appreciate it too, as you're listening to this. excuse me. So give us a feedback. I would love to hear from you guys. Let me know.
I got to see what it looks like. We haven't.
The
audio is out for Edgar, but not the video yet.
Yeah, the video will come out. I mean, it's all good. I mean, by the time you're listening to this, the video is already out on YouTube. But these are good changes, but changes introduce new process, and it is what it is. So we're seeking feedback. If you're listening or watching this, let us know. Drop comments. I always want to hear.
Cap locks, you suck.
Listen, we've had some interesting comments in the past, and good ones and bad ones, and you know, it is what it is. I keep saying it. I love doing this, so we'll keep doing it. Anyhow, we had one and only, our own and only, Edgar on the show.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about having your own instructor on the podcast?
I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Edgar's great. You know, it's funny, right? As soon as he walked through the door today, I was making fun of him. That's when you walked in and you thought we were making fun of you.
Love
no,
me,
he
yeah.
was, I got him so good. He was laughing at himself. I don't know which what angle you're approaching that on, you know, my instructor or like having somebody super local on. Either way, it was a really good, fun episode. And, you know, we've had guys who are known around the world, and the episodes are not that great, to put it mildly. And so, you know, you have somebody who just left his regular career or, you know, a traditional career, let's say, to become a full-time instructor. And I think that makes for a much better episode than, you know, the guy that lives up until this point or that point has lived, breathed jiu-jitsu and nothing else, you know?
Well, I think every conversation has a
you know, interesting parts of it. Right? Yeah. Some of them are more entertaining than others, and I do agree with that, that we had some guests that were less entertaining than others. But I do think that every episode, I try to find a little golden nugget, something that I learned, something that gives me, you know, a little nudge, that something I didn't know prior to that conversation. So it, you know, I think it's all about perspective how we look at this. But one of the funny or interesting things was the 3-year contract, huh? Jesus Lord.
Yeah. So whenever I play anything from the podcast for Margaret, she's like, I could just see her deflate, and she's like, you know.
Listen, I'm going to put this out there. But if you're listening to this and you're under a 3-year contract at Fujitsu, you message me on Instagram, I'm going to give you access to Roll TV. Okay? I'm just going to give it to you.
You got
to
show us the contract.
I'm just going to give it to you.
Like, if you're not buying a car or a house, why are you signing anything for 3 years? Now, this was a long time ago. I don't know if anybody else is still doing that.
No, listen, there are still places that do contracts. And, I mean, we've talked about this on the air. We remove contracts at Roll Academy. They are not existent. There's no commitments whatsoever here. And we see value behind it. We want you to be, here because you want to be here, not because you're tied up in an agreement, legal binding agreement that you signed. Yeah. However, there is still plenty of academies out there who do it that way, and they are successful with it. So who are we to judge? To each their own, I suppose.
No,
right?
No, the judgment comes from your wife. When you come home and say, I signed a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
So like I was saying, you know, I played that part for Margaret, and she busted out laughing. One of those laughs where there's not even any audible noise, you know, she can't breathe. yeah, I didn't even ask her, like, what if I would have done that?
You would be dead. Oh, man. You would be dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, she probably wouldn't have ever really noticed, because it was funny. I have this old bank account that that was my jiu-jitsu account. I never got rid of it when we got together, and I just had it. And like $100 a month or something like that out of my direct deposit.
Oh, just automatically would go into that. In there?
Yeah, yeah. And then so it was like, you know what? I'll use that for the jiu-jitsu, because the only other thing I would use it for is like we'd buy something. Yeah. You know, we would just buy something. Yeah. And I was like, I'll use that for the jiu-jitsu. So she never really saw anything coming out of our joint account. You know, it was just like, it was that money never existed. So if you ever are looking for a way to, like, you know, pay for things without your significant other knowing, and you're young and you're not married or settled down
yet,
please
don't give this advice. Please
just keep a card that nobody knows about. So that when they throw you out, you'll be able to buy a couch, and you'll be able to, you know, all that stuff. But yeah.
So much for transparent communication between spouses.
she knew I had it. She just didn't know how much was in it.
No, I'm talking about your advice to others.
Oh, yeah. Keep it to everything to yourself. Always have an exit strategy, a back door.
Exit strategy. Oh my God, you are ridiculous. What?
I heard something good earlier today, and we're totally, I don't know what we're talking about.
Just keep going. Yeah, it's good.
But it was somebody told me that they had just gotten married, and I said, did you get a prenup? And they said no, and I said, you will next time.
You are so rude and mean. Lord.
I didn't say I said it. I just thought it was funny.
I think what was cool about conversation with Edgar and like talk about different life lessons and different things that, you know, you take away, you know, is the fact that he didn't have an opportunity to train in one place. He actually, because the direction that his life took him, he had a diversity of instructors. He has a diversity of academies. He changed jobs several times throughout his tenure of jiu-jitsu, if you will, his path, you know. But the life took him in different directions. And despite what the location was, despite what the obstacles was, he still continued training. Mm-hmm. He still continued training. And I think at times we find ourselves in these tough spots in life where we have to make choices. And at times, jiu-jitsu is the sacrifice that we make simply because we feel that we don't have a choice to continue. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, whether the academy is too far away or the schedule doesn't work, or, you know, from perhaps a financial, you know, obstacles or limitations, you know, there could be a many things that could happen, but we simply let it go. And I'm curious what your thoughts on this, because you are in the front office. You do run the department here at Rec Academy with the team to make sure that the entry points and the exit points are, you know, buttoned up where they need to be. Mm-hmm. But I often feel like I feel bad. Like I feel sad that people leave jiu-jitsu because they don't see the opportunity to continue. Mm-hmm. And often, and I don't know, and this is what I want to chat with you about. Like, me personally, I feel that if jiu-jitsu is important enough to you, that you will find a way. Or am I just stubborn on this because this is what I do?
Well, you said something telling, right? If it's important enough to you, and it's, for some people it's not important enough, and you have to show them why it should be. I mean, I've talked to people all over the place, people who haven't come in, who have signed up and left for a number of reasons, people who give you reasons to not come in, right? People who, you know, I had somebody that I talked to very recently who you go through the note history. This person was here years ago and they gave you the same reasons then that mm-hmm. they just gave me, you know, whether it was price or schedule or, you know, you're interested, you're looking for something, right? Mm-hmm. In your life, you have to make some sacrifices. And if that sacrifice is time, if that sacrifice is money, if that sacrifice is, the Oreos at night, whatever it is, you have to be willing to make it. You have to make the thing that you're seeking out the priority. And that, by that, I don't mean it takes the place of your family or your job or anything like that, but you just have to shift things around enough so that you can include it.
Yeah.
And you can prosper in it. And it's not that hard. There's plenty of, you know, how many people say, I don't have time for, and then
they
sit on their phone and play candy. We have the new camera. I don't know where to point my phone. they sit on Candy Crush or they sit on social media. They sit and there's an hour.
It's not even that. So I get what you're saying, but I think we can even take this deeper. Like this whole reasoning of I don't have time. It is such an interesting topic, in my opinion. Because,
well, look, go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I was about to say that it's all about priorities because, like, you can be on your phone. You can, but also a lot of times we'll sit down and we'll simply sit on the couch and watch TV. We will go and play basketball game. We will go and hang out and have a beer with our friend. We will, I don't know, work. How many of us find ourselves in a spot when we sit down? We get home, we pull the laptop out. And we work, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, it's not that you don't have time. It is that it's not important enough. Like, and I often, like, I did ask a black belt on this, the other podcast that I do. Check it out there. But it's self-plug, by the way. But it, all right, I screwed that one up. Anyway. But I did record a couple of episodes about priorities and how it's structured. Mm-hmm. You know, and how are we prioritizing things in our life? And oftentimes we come to, it's not what is more important to us, but oftentimes what gives us the instant satisfaction.
There is that, but I also believe that in this country, we prioritize things that force us to not get enjoyment out of life. We prioritize keeping up with the Joneses. We are told from the time we're born to work hard, to do this, to do that, but we're not told to find something we love. We're not told to make that a priority. Yep. You can find something you love, but that has to come secondary to your job. Mm-hmm. It has to come secondary to the house that you're supposed to have, like everybody else's, the kitchen, the car, the whatever. Don't take any vacations, right? You're lazy. If you're taking vacations, if you're taking your sick days, but if you do all those things, guess what? You're happy. Edgar talked a lot about happiness. He need, jiu-jitsu makes him happy. His family makes him happy. What does he do? Well, then he did for a long time have a job and the hours he didn't like. However, it did give him a lifestyle where he could pursue jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think the happy is more in the quotes than anything else, because you will ask the population that we are surrounded by, and then many of them will tell you that the house makes them happy, the new car makes them happy, the promotion makes them happy.
That goes back to that instant gratification.
Exactly. And this is why I highlighted that, because it is what satisfies us at this moment. Yep. We don't look ahead. We don't look where we're going to be in 10 years from now. We don't look the fact that I'm a huge fan of actually having my own thing. Like, like family is great. And there's that facts are coming in there that I love my kids. Like, it is what it is. I love hanging out with the boys. At the same time, there's time where I don't want to be there. I want to be by myself on the mat. I want to go through the struggles of being on the mat.
Yeah.
I want to stimulate myself. Yeah. I want to, and same thing at home. Like, I love reading. I want to read a book. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone.
Right.
I want to read a book, because that's what the quiet time of self-reflection. Like that.
And what happens when you have those times and you take those times? When you have time with others, it's better.
Absolutely. Because now it becomes quality.
Right. Right. Yes. And that's part of what I was talking about earlier is we have all these things that we're supposed to do that really don't afford us quality, right? Mm-hmm. When you die, you can't take it with you. Mm-hmm. What you can take towards the end, if you're still lucid, is all of those memories. If you're lucky enough.
And more importantly, you leave the memories with the people who you are with, right? So it's like passing the baton almost.
Yeah,
right?
We brought it up in the episode. One of us said to him that, he's going to look back and he's going to see all these great things he did with his kids on the mats and the time that they shared. They were together.
Yeah.
And then that's going to trickle down from his kids to his grandkids.
Yeah.
And that's the important stuff. It's great if you have that house, but if all you're doing is working to drive into the driveway and go inside and go to sleep, well, what is it worth really?
And I think this is the important part. There's nothing wrong with having a house or having a nice car or having things that you worked
separate
hard for.
Bank account nobody knows about.
However, when you are not able to enjoy them, what is the purpose of having them? And I think this is where,
if you got a really nice boat and it sits in your driveway, what's the point?
I know people who have a lake house and they don't use it.
Right.
They have, maybe not a boat, but they have cars. Like I know one particular person who I think he has 4 or 5 cars. Like he does. But he doesn't drive them. It's just the satisfaction of having them. And I don't know if that's equality. I don't know if that's, at least for me, to each their own. I suppose we all different humans, and that's what makes this
world
so interesting.
People have been writing about this shit for thousands of years.
Oh, I know.
There's got to be something about it.
I know.
There's got smarter people than us have talked.
No shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to side with those people because. Listen, when I worked 15 hours a day and I was miserable at work, I was miserable when I got home.
You and I, we had many conversations at before you start working at Roll Academy, but there's times, and this is not particularly to you, but just in general, like as an instructor, seeing faces coming in and out, it is almost predictable whether you had a good day or not.
Mm-hmm.
I can, the moment you walk into the academy, I can tell you if you had a good day or not. And whether you're a police officer, plumber, or a teacher or whatever you do, politician, like I can tell you if you had a good day or not. And I just wish that we all had more of good days than bad days. It kind of brought me a years ago. This is really going to the. I believe I was a white belt. I know I was a white belt. It was at the very beginning. I don't even know if I had stripes, but I remember walked into the academy one day and I had a bad day and we went to rounds and Carlson Gracie Sr. pulled what I don't remember if he pulled me off, but he was always sitting on the sidelines and he told me, come, sit. And I came and sat, and there was not much conversation with Carson because of the language limitation, but I remember he turned to me and he says, everybody has good days. Everybody has a bad days. Have more good days than bad days.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. And this was decades ago. And to this day, I remember it. And it's big part of, you know, some of these quote unquote silly phrases that I use to keep going every day. So.
Nice stuff. I'm trying not to make a joke. I just want to see the broken English Thomas and the broken English Carlson trying to have a conversation in English. I would love to be there.
I think you know what? In all reality, I think that's what made it easy for me to communicate with the old man, because neither one of us really knew how to speak.
Yeah, you don't. There's no BS. You're not sugarcoating anything.
For those of you out there who listened, who trained at Carson Gracie Sr. back then, you know that, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. There was a lot of hand gestures, there was a lot of poha, and there was just a lot of screaming. Okay, that's what it was. Okay, we all did it. We all been through it. You know, without dropping names, you know who you are, because there's not many of those guys left around Chicagoland area, but some of them are still there and some of them are very successful and good for you. But that was the beginning of all of this. So it's awesome to see that.
All right, cool.
Let's wrap this up.
All right.
Later.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.